Good evening, everyone. We're going to start our work session here. Fairbanks Police Department audio video record requests, and what you get to do now. So I'm going to get out of the way.
I will call the roll. Ms. Rogers?
Here.
Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Here.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell?
Here.
And Mayor Pruse is present. Go ahead. You can go ahead and start talking. I'll bring it up.
Captain Warner, go ahead.
I'll just talk away. So this is spurred about just a little bit of history so we know what we're getting into. As technology has gotten more exciting and advanced, everybody wants the latest gadgets and tools. Part of that in society has been body cameras and dash car cameras and the advancements in that. But it's kind of a two-edged sword. I think when everybody jumps on board with the idea of having better video and technology, I don't know if we, in the past, had the foresight to look into the future and see where it might take us, right? Because with more video requires a lot more management, right? Especially in our digital age. Even when they came out, YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, social media, wasn't at the height of what it is now. So you take a lot of, there's a lot of consequences, good and bad, that come from having such a big system in the digital world, right? So as we've grown from that and learned, we've come across some challenges. And this is just to address some of those challenges as we've grown in that. And like anything else, when you have the quantity of videos from, imagine every single officer, every single interaction, dash cam, body cam at a HD video quality, the hours and hours and data that's collected, and now that's evidence. And you can't necessarily throw it all away. So thousands and thousands and thousands of hours. That also is available to the public. And they can request that video, but you can't necessarily release just all of everybody's personal information. So that requires a management of the system. So that's where we get into this. So it's not regular records. It's mostly focused on our digital records. So you can go ahead with that. So kind of explain the different areas of the police department as an introduction that manages our records. And the total numbers will hit, our digital evidence section, which I briefly touched on, the retention of those records we can talk about, and then redacting, which is, you know, removing all that private information to make it publicly available and viewable. Next. So our data management team. So Judy Binkley actually has a dual role. She is the administrative assistant. And solely on her own, she also manages the data management team. So made up of Olivia Laska, Elena Condon, and we just got this young lady hired, Nicole Carpenter. So their primary job, though, is to manage our records. So our uniform crime reporting data, the records and the police reports that have to come in and be managed correctly so they're ready for the district attorney's office, the process of all that paperwork into the system and the courts and everything is what they do. We're also mandated by, you know, state and federal law as well to report correctly, right? And so all the coding, it's kind of like akin to if you've done anything for insurance or warranty coding or anything like that, everything has to be precise and accurate. So this team, that's kind of their primary function. And that last slide, I put a little thing on there. It says it should be noted we don't do crime analysis to the extent that we could. It's kind of a gap in our system. So if we have an investigations unit, theoretically you should have somebody kind of pigeonholed to do intense data analysis of information coming in because we live in a data-driven world. And so you can do a lot of crime analysis to help predict crime, find people, find patterns, especially if you've got a lot of data, then somebody can help analyze that to help solve the crimes better. We don't have a specific analyst to do that. So that would probably fall in this realm, but we don't have anybody. Okay. Evidence technicians. So kind of the other half of this for our data is our evidence tech. Michael Moore is sitting next to me. Joshua Jacobs. Joshua's function is in evidence, but he also responds as a crime scene investigator. So he does all our crime scene tech stuff. So a lot of our photos, processing of the nasty evidence, making sure if we have a very high-profile case that he's there doing all the digital on all the recording for that. So we're professional in that area. And then Cindy Learned, her role right now is very important because she's the one that packages all this digital primarily for legal. So all the legal stuff that goes to the district attorney's office for discovery, she's the one that takes that package and makes sure that it gets uploaded to the correct systems and the communication person between the district attorney's office and us. The purpose is to prepare and manage the evidence. Digital video and photos. So the question came up a while ago, is a video or a photo evidence? And we all say it is, but then is it a record? So in statute, we're supposed to retain a record of something for so long. And, you know, if the case or whatever is disposed of, we're going to keep it so long after that. And different municipalities and states have different rules around that. One thing, again, from the past to the future, is a states not across the board have defined whether digital evidence is actually a record. Because you'd think if I have photographs and everything, there's a written record about it, but do I need to retain all this video and photos? So the state of Alaska actually classifies video and photos as records. So the burden that places on the city is now you just don't keep, you know, a paper copy of something or, you know, a Word document of it. Now you have to retain, just as a regular paper record, all this digital video. And I think that's because, again, the statutes and everything was written so long ago that we didn't look into the future of gigabytes and gigabytes and terabytes of digital video storage. And so those statutes haven't changed to reflect, you know, the modernization of that. So that's something we just have to live with. The retention and maintenance of physical evidence requires hours of management. So it's easy to collect a bunch of evidence and bring it all in. The officer drop it off and put it in a paper bag and wrap it all up. And then what do? Just throw it in the back of the Connex or the garage. There has to be a filing system. Just to put it in a very personal basis, just imagine some of the worst times of your life compounded with like the death of a family member, and you need justice. And it's the evidence and the case is going to be torn apart and scrutinized for weeks and months at a time. If that evidence isn't managed properly, it can be a detriment to the case. So it is extremely important that we manage our evidence correctly, and it isn't just a hoarder's garage, per se. That should be the primary function of, like, what Mike does here. In that process, the evidence technicians work closely with the district attorney's office to make sure that evidence and all the reports are maintained for discovery request purposes. So that's their kind of keyhole. You go to the next one. So here's the numbers of these requests that we have. And they've actually, in 2019, this 3,000 number was actually about 6,000. Because it was a while ago, we don't know why it was so high that one year, but it can ebb and flow. So 2023, there's 3,804 requests. This is including, you know, stuff from the state and everything else that we get for those requests. There's a system that we subscribe to called Next Request, and that's for citywide records requests. It's a fantastic system because it actually allows us to track all the records. Since we've had that system in April of 2023, 1,200... about almost 1,300 reports and 123 videos have been requested through Next Request for Fairbanks Police Department. Down below are some of the others. Fires 13, dispatch, and so forth. So the big thing here is the reason we're at the table is 99% of these public information requests that come through and through Next Request is all Fairbanks Police. I mean, there's small other numbers, but we do the bulk majority of requests at a level that's way higher than anybody else. You name it. Mike gets most of them. He could probably answer that.
Some of the bigger customers are going to be Next Request. So every time there's an accident, much like what's going on right now, Next Request is providing that out to the insurance companies. Some insurance companies reach out depending on what their situations are. Law offices will reach out and request a lot of our video footage. If there's an accident in which somebody gets hurt, the chances that a lawyer is reviewing it to see if there's a lawsuit is going to be pretty high, and they're asking for that. A lot of victims are asking for things, and then a lot of people down the road are trying to get copies of their records because they're trying to clear up something from their past. But there's a ton of requests, and they kind of vary all over the place. For the body camera request, a good bit of it is the traffic accident piece. A lot of it is civil. A lot of it is he said, she said. If there's a death in the family, somebody wants to know what they said to the officer at the scene because they're arguing over something. There's also the request because somebody has a YouTube channel. And I think we've had one most recent where, hey, there's these five different DUI cases, and I want all the body cam footage from these five DUI cases. The average DUI case is about 10 gigabytes as far as data goes. Because you're talking about dash cams, backseat cameras, the body cameras. You're talking two officers, two dash cams, and it's probably going to take from start to finish on the normal DUI, it's going to take about 45 minutes from start to finish. If you have something like the most recent boating DUI, multiply that by four or five. So it becomes quite intense as far as answering some of these requests because it's not a fast process. There is a lot of data and information, and unfortunately, you're not just going to a report. You're not just going into that report and pulling it out. You're going into the date and time, and you're having to search for those videos. Same thing with the phone calls. When somebody calls 911, they're not categorized as the event. You're going through, and you're looking at that time, and I'm looking at every single phone line that we have going into 911 and going through and listening to those phone calls to find the phone calls that pertain to that case or that incident that they're looking for.
And what's your, you work as an evidence tech?
We'll get to the math. Yeah, I get what you're talking about. We'll address that as well and what we can and can't do in those or what we've learned so far. That just gives you an idea of the quantity. All different sources request data. Next. So here's kind of a capture of where we are now. Right now we have about 75,000 videos stored in the system. These are body camera and car camera. This doesn't include our records management system. This is just these body cameras that we pay to Motorola. That's it. So take everything else out of that. It's just this. They're expensive. A body camera system's about $5,000. Car camera systems are $10,000 per car. And that's not to add in the ongoing fees for storage and anything. And they're now on a service, so it's about a 5-year renewal system. You just do the math right there. You know, 30 cars at $10,000 a pop, and then you got to put body cameras on every single officer. If you fill all positions, that's 37 officers times that. This is today.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, the total number of videos, that goes back to 2015, I think.
16.
Yeah. Is when we started our initial program with these. And paying for cloud storage. So, again, just give you a today of how this system requires quite a bit of money and management. Go ahead. So we touched on this a little bit, evidence tech. So their priority should be maintaining that evidence, properly maintaining the cases, preparation for court cases, and disposable and non-essential evidence. So being able to make it a revolving door so we manage the police department's evidence locker. That evidence locker is full. We're getting to the point where we're just going to start stacking things in the hallway and on the floors. We already are. What's that? It's basically in the very center of the police department. And nobody except an evidence technician, including the chief and myself and anybody, has access to that. It's that secure. And that way, if I wanted access, I could, but we'd have to go through an entire reconciliation of all the evidence, sign off on it, right? So that way there's accountability for every new person that would ever enter there. So right now it's just three people, right, that are allowed in there to keep that managed properly. Repercussions of not doing it, you know, we're taking in evidence but not maintaining it. So if we divert evidence techs to managing all this digital evidence, then they're not going to be doing the physical evidence that's in there. We run out of room, we'll ignore that evidence room just to do the video, and we don't have the place to store it, and or the storage is inappropriate. So if we spill out of there and we say, okay, let's go put it in cold storage or in a Connex, is that really an appropriate way to store essential evidence? What? So a little bit of more of the impact. After about 14 years of camera and new car cameras, we'll grow right now at about 10,000 videos a year. Right now is what our growth is. Our retention requires that we keep most of our reportable crimes for 20 years. So that means that's why we have that growth. Once we hit that 20-year cycle, things can potentially start to purge off, but we don't have anybody managing that. So we just keep growing.
On that retention, understand that with police records, the retention is based on their adjudication date. So while you might have got a DUI in 2021, that time doesn't start until the court case is done. So if that court case gets wrapped up next week, that's when the time starts ticking to get rid of those items or to purge those items. It's not from the date of the incident. It's from the date of the adjudication. So for some of these cases that take 5-6 years before they go to trial, or if there's appeals, it can be quite a long time before we even start the timeline to get rid of items.
And just to keep in mind, caseload-wise, we average about 4,000 cases, actual cases, a year. So you think of that, you know, constant turnover at 4,000 cases a year. You think about the hundreds of thousands of videos that are constantly turning over. And then, like Mike said, each video may be doubled or more because if there's more than one officer on scene plus the cars on scene, now you've got not just, oh, I want the video from that. You've got the video times three or four officers times all their cars times how many hours they're on scene. Go ahead. Here's kind of the preparation to give you an idea of what is required. So you can... Yeah, looking for it, downloading it, compiling it, and prepping it is one thing, but then you have to go to redacting it, making it available for the public. All videos need to be reviewed. You have to watch the whole thing. You have to listen to the whole thing, and you have to redact it. You're talking about we can't release minors and their information. Would you want the inside of your house exposed to everybody on YouTube and the whole world? So redact the inside of people's residences, their addresses? Anything really graphic? Are we just spitting out for the whole world to see somebody, I mean, quite frankly, with like severed limbs and heads? And I mean, it's graphic stuff. What do we redact there? What about personal information? Do you want your driver's license and social security number, your telephone number, those things, personal addresses? And I put naked people on there. Sounds funny, but software allows for some head recognition or facial recognition. There's not like body part, you know, penis recognition software, right? So you got to think, and then you got to follow around and blur out, and it's a lot of video editing and time to make sure that's appropriate. It takes about 4 minutes for every 1 minute of video or more, and then audio calls still need to be reviewed and redacted. So it's not just the search and the compiling and getting it all. That does take time, but it's also the prep. that is really the burden.
And that is just on the digital side of the house. When you start talking about older cases, you start talking about your VHS tapes, you start talking about your audio cassettes, you have to digitize those before you can even release them. It is a time-consuming process. It's getting harder and harder as time goes on and those things get older. But imagine taking all your VHS tapes, and as people ask to, hey, I want to see your old Disney film that's on VHS, you then have to convert it to a digital copy before it can be released.
So this is an actual case example. There's a request that came in recently. So the requester, this firm, requested all the video related to this particular incident. There's about 14 minutes of audio for this incident. This is very typical, 4.5 hours of video, you know, for the body cameras. In order to prep this to get released, it's about 16 hours just for one request. So it gives you a realistic example of what we deal with for the public information requests. You go to next. So here's some solutions, some ideas that we talked about. Other agencies, when we go even nationwide, right, either they didn't have a camera system in place, like Troopers just barely purchased into the body camera system. As part of their initial get into it, they set up a whole division just for redacting and records requests. That's all they do. And so they kind of foresaw it, but they've also had the history of looking at what everybody else has done over the last decade to do it. So that's what people have done. There's a purchase of software and hardware that people have done. Companies now are capitalizing on that, knowing that this is an issue for police departments. Police departments and governments have come up with different fee schedules to address the need on how it's going to cost, like you're saying. You can contract with firms. Usually the firms cost anywhere from $5 to $7 a minute. So if you give them the video, even after we compile it all, you give it to them, they'll go ahead and redact it. We still have to review it. That'll save a lot of time, but you're paying $7 a minute, you know. One of the challenges that we face, and we're still getting some more information on it, but you can't directly bill people for us redacting it. There's been a lot of case law where if it's a public record, it's a public record. We can't just bill you for every minute of our time doing it. So some of the ways that you can still do it, though, is a per item, right? Rather than all the time, but it's reasonable to say, hey, if you want a video, then the video is going to be $20, $30 for that video. What that does, too, you think about it in a practical situation. If somebody is requesting a particular incident and there's 10 videos, you can have a conversation and say, hey, look, it's $30 a video, or, like, do you just want the interaction with that one officer? Do you just want this point of view? You know, and we can get you that one video, save you some money, save us some time, everybody wins. That's what that fee schedule kind of helps do. It also deters people just collecting. You just want years and years of video because you're a production company and you have a really good YouTube channel that has a lot of views, or you want to make, you know, you want to go into the business of TV production, and so you start putting out public information requests everywhere, and the government's required to give it to you, and you're making money, but the government's paying a pretty penny. That discourages that type of process as well. If we purchase our own software and hardware, which we've already kind of gone down this road, it will address a lot of this time and proper editing of the video, and that software hardware is about $10,000 a year for us to do it in-house, saving quite a bit of money as if we contract it out. But we also have to have a dedicated AV tech to do those things. That person can do the same thing, but we need a dedicated person to manage all of that and purge and delete the evidence. Potentially looking at a digital management database to help manage all the digital evidence, and then obviously it requires like a little bit of restructure in how we're organized if we're going to continue to stand up which we're not saying it's going away, but in order to stand up a proper digital evidence process, you have to kind of do a little bit of personnel organization.
The idea is not to discourage people from making requests, and it's not to not give people information. Like right now, there's an accident over at the GARS. So you probably have 3 or 4 patrol cars blocking traffic. So when somebody says, hey, I want every single car and dash cam from that accident, you still have to go through and take all the radio traffic out of the background. You still have to go through and redact the officer screen that has information on there. The officer never even went to the scene. He was blocking traffic. But yet, you still are required to release it when you're releasing all of it. Again, a lot of times, it's 8 different records of the exact same incident. You're viewing it from different angles. And to say you can have one video for $10 or $20, you can see what happened. It gives you public access to what that is. And if you see another officer and you think they have a different angle or it has something different, you can always go back and request that video as well. It's a la carte. You can have as many as you want or as little as you want. If an officer pulled you over and you want just that one video of that interaction of that officer that pulled you over, you can request that. Again, if there's a DUI stop, there's one officer parked right behind the vehicle. The other officer is parked behind that officer. What do you think that dash cam captures? The back of his patrol car. And under the current system and the way things are set up, it's real easy to just say, I want everything. I want everything. We can still give the public what they need and what they want without giving them a lot of nothing. So I think that, again, this kind of helps with some of the, hey, I have a YouTube channel and I want to request, I think the one of them was about 40 videos. So essentially I'm not going to do my job for 2 weeks because I'm going to be sitting there going through 40 videos to release to somebody who's publicizing it on YouTube at a profit. And that's the reality of some of it. And some of it is, I know one of the most recent requests, I want, for the last 6 months, I want every audio recording, every video recording, and every interaction I've had with any and every city employee. It's a total of 5 events, 1 traffic ticket. But the time it takes to search for all that and pull it up, I don't know if most of you are aware of this, but there's a lot of custody turnovers that happen in the police department parking lot and in our lobby. If 2 people can't get along and they have to turn their kids over, the judge says, do it at the police department. That's kind of the easy answer. We get quite a few requests because the spouse was 10 minutes late bringing the kid, and they want the video footage of that for their court case. There's the reality of that. I think one of the most recent ones, it was a total of 34 child custody turnovers from our security system. That not only has to be found in the security system, it then has to be extracted from the security system. The video format has to be converted because it's a special, unique format to our security system. The amount of time that takes is extremely extensive. Out of those 34 turnovers, how much of those videos really had something of any significance? One of them. One of those turnovers was of any significance. As far as if it's, yes, we do get quite a bit, and that's pretty simple. If it's not our case, it's not our case. Then they would go to the troopers or North Pole or whoever has it. But we do get quite a few requests for accidents that, again, it's pretty simple. We search our records. If I search for that accident and I realize it's not here, most of the time if they give you a location, it gives you a pretty good hint as to whether or not it's ours or not. But if it's not ours, we simply let them know it's not ours and where to go look for it.
So I don't want to cut anybody off. I just want to know our time frame. I didn't ask that in the beginning. Okay. So we can answer questions. We're done. Okay. We're done with the slide. The very last here is kind of a good example. There's some clips of what has to be done. So you can see like what gets redacted and what it might look like, you know. So these are incidents that were pulled for public information requests. So that's a computer screen. You know, obviously we can't have that information out, so that gets done.
What's going on?
She's in there with the youngest one.
Okay, and who are you?
And I'm Dwayne Holden.
Okay, wait here.
Father-in-law. She's hysterical.
What's her name?
Katie.
Hi. Alright, let's stop.
Juveniles.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
What's going on?
Juveniles. Traffic stop. Got to pay attention to the audio, like what was said.
So,
some of that has to be taken out.
You said he was on this crosswalk, right? Okay. And then, so what happened exactly? You were turning left.
Left.
And then you were just,
I don't even know how he got there. Like,
driver's licenses.
Driver of that is Tiffany Bastion. Okay, Tiffany, what happened today?
Well, it was
stopped at the stoplight
there.
Okay.
On the Johansson?
No, Hunter.
Hunter, this is Hunter, yeah, coming
Hunter.
This way.
Yeah,
okay.
And I was actually turning
that. Cell phones. So you're turning left onto Johansson?
Yes, I was turning left onto Johansson, sorry.
Oh, no, you're good.
And I heard a honk behind me, and I saw that those two cars had stopped.
Okay. You okay with that? Yeah, he called and said that he thought that
we'd
there was
blur
a stranger
out her
in
entire
couch.
House and not release it, you know,
and
inside somebody's
said,
residence.
Yeah.
Were you the one who came the other night?
I am. Yeah.
May I give you a hug?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for the other night.
Did you call to have Rain picked up?
No.
I'm sleeping.
This is one of those custody exchanges. You have to watch the entire thing. And those fancy little boxes, they say that, you know, our technology allows it to just automatically follow around. It's never that easy. You have to go back and modify it yourself. Hospitals, medical records. This is a severe example right here.
Yeah.
So
it's the back room of the ER.
Yeah. So the lobby is open to the public in the hospital. However, once you go through the doors, there is a little bit of an expectation of privacy. The other problem that you run into is there is so much information all over the place that to try to redact all of it almost becomes impossible. We recently did one from a doctor's office where the officer had to respond to the doctor's office, and then he goes into the admin office. Well, there's people's records all over the place. You can't go through and redact everything all over the desk. So you blur it. Again, you redact what you have to out of the audio and then provide the audio. But again, there is an expectation of privacy after something absolutely as horrible has happened to you that has put you in the hospital and you're in pretty bad shape.
And just if I can add one thing to this, I don't know. I stepped out for a minute. But on this redaction, Mike is watching these videos or going through these videos multiple times. It's not like he can just go through it one time and get everything redacted. He has to slow it down to about 1/4 speed, I believe, to do the boxes.
Depending on the software, for some of it, you basically have to go frame by frame. If I am blurring out your face, I cannot blur out everybody else's face at the same time. I then have to go through 10 minutes of video blurring your face and then go back to that same 10 minutes of video to blur the second person. So if there's three kids in the video, I'll have to go through it three times to blur each kid individually. You can't do the audio while you're doing the visual, so then you have to go back and do the audio. So at that point, you've gone through that same video four times. With some of the new software, it will help with that. because it will auto detect things and it will kind of blur multiple things for you. The downside is you still have to go back and correct what the AI did, because the AI, unfortunately, it's not as good as we would hope it to be, because if it was that easy, it wouldn't be a problem for us right here. I could click a button and we could just go. But trying to get the computer to recognize the difference between, you know, the phone and the Clorox container, it's just not there all the time. So we just purchased some software that we are, again, we got to get some updates to some hardware, because that's the other problem. The software is great, but the processing power, your regular desktop, is just not ready for it. It sounds like your computer's trying to take off from a runway when it starts to try to process everything. So it does take quite a bit. So there's, again, the technology piece to some of it is we just have to get caught up.
Told us about how important it is to have privacy in a lot of these things. I get that. So how in the world are we allowed to give it over to YouTube?
So each state has different FOIA laws. Okay. And those FOIA laws drastically differ. Again, Alaska is a little bit more on your privacy piece. So if a police officer is at your house and he is inside your house and you wanted his body cam from his interaction with you in your house, you can ask for that and you can get that. Now, if your neighbor asked for that video footage of that officer that went in your house because your neighbor's just nosy and wants to know why the cops were at your house, they can request that.
Do you have to give me the opportunity to say yes to it? That seems like an invasion of privacy right there.
So again, that is a FOIA request. It is public record. Now, again, that is where you have to look at the request and who's requesting it. Again, if you are requesting your interaction, that's you requesting your interaction. If it is your neighbor requesting that interaction, there is an expectation of privacy when that officer crosses that threshold into your house.
Okay, so, gosh, let's talk technology. You know, I know in 10 years things change. So you've got something stored. Do you have to copy it to something, a whole new system, and then do something with it, or do you keep it as it is and call it good?
So currently we are paying to store it on a cloud. So we are paying Motorola to keep all this in their wonderful cloud. Much like your cell phone provider kind of gets you locked into a contract, they get us locked into a contract. If we decide to leave them, we then have to decide what to do with our 10 terabytes of body cam videos. So we got to find a place to put it, or we got to pay them to keep storing it for us. So again, it's kind of like VHS tapes. I can currently still digitize those. In 10 years, how hard is it going to be to digitize a VHS?
Another thing,
do we have an idea of what, I mean, we came into body cams not too long ago, and it seems like a great idea, and it probably is. Do we have any real numbers as to what this actually costs us to do this?
Costs to provide the body cameras?
No, to manage this thing.
We do.
Everything
we have
you do is costing you manpower and software. And,
sure.
And every year, every couple of years, you technology is changing, and you got to buy new equipment. What is the cost of your department to do this?
So the cameras themselves cost anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 a piece. So the body cameras that everybody has on their vests are $5,000. The ones that go in the vehicles are $10,000.
Every couple of years, probably.
So we ran into a dilemma about 3 years ago. We were out of storage space. Alaska Connect, the company that manages the city's IT, we kept running out of storage space, and so they kept having to buy terabytes of server space so that we could continue to upload body camera video, and the servers kept going down. We'd be backlogged. Officers would have body camera video they couldn't get uploaded. So all of the camera manufacturers now have a subscription-based model. So you pay for the subscription. They give us new body camera videos or new body cameras. The car videos, you buy the subscription package. Part of that subscription package is the data. So it all is uploaded to a cloud. They took all of the videos that we had on our server, uploaded it to the cloud, and they now store it. Part of the problem that we have is none of that data is very little of it is ever getting deleted off there. So when Officer Jones walks outside here and talks to somebody for 5 minutes, that video gets uploaded. We don't have any system in place right now for somebody to go back through when the statute of limitations runs out on that video to go, hey, we need to delete that video. So that storage is just adding up.
Any idea what it costs us to do those?
I believe I'd have to look at the contract, but I believe it's about $100,000 a year that we're paying for the cameras, the storage, and their service.
And then you get into then you get into the cost of your team managing the stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, what's the cost we have in managing all that? Obviously, you've got a team, and you're spending a lot of man hours on this.
I would say right now that's a little bit of a prediction that we'd have to do some pretty hard numbers on because we don't have the team, right? So if we put together numbers on what it would cost, I mean, just
picking people.
Yeah, you can kind of decide. But right now,
we don't have.
I mean, I just take 2 seconds. Without him, we'd be in a world of hurt. We're lucky that we have an evidence tech that has the forward leaning and the ability to say, you know what, nobody's doing it, but I'm going to take ownership of it because he cares. But you don't get employees like that very often. So, and lucky he has the skills to do it too.
And he's also the guy that's dug down all these rules and regulations. That's all him digging to find out what we can release, what we can't release, all that. He's taken that task on his own.
So we need more people like him.
Thank you. Is there a limitation either under FOIA requests or state law or federal law what we can charge per hour for time that we spend on this? Is there any kind of a limitation that you are aware of?
So
yes.
I can jump in on this. A lot of this conversation obviously has Fairbanks General Code guidance. There's state law guidance. There's case law guidance. There's federal law guidance on this. So it gets pretty legal pretty quickly. I was recently asked if we can charge a fee for the redaction of the records, and the short answer is yes. It just has to be, it can't exceed the standard unit cost of duplication. And I can get more into this as counsel would like, but the bottom line is, you know, there is a tension between the charge of all of these laws that says, get the public records out, make them as transparent, make government as transparent as possible, and at the end of the day, who pays for that? It seems like the state law lets the municipalities work with that, and we've got a schedule of fees that can be adjusted on our end.
So to follow up on that, I mean, our cost is literally the salary of an individual plus pennies plus amortization of equipment. And anything else we can think of, there's it piles up. I would, if it was a private sector, you'd have to recoup all those costs, so you're going to be out of business. When the DA's office requests items, do they get it for free?
So, for the district attorney's office, it's going to be a lot different. You're not redacting any records for the district attorney's office. That's going to fall under discovery, and Tom can talk way more about that than I could. So, the district attorney's office. We're giving them the evidence to prosecute. So when our officers arrest somebody, if we want the district attorney's office to prosecute them, we have to give them the evidence to do the prosecution. So when somebody gets arrested for a DUI this afternoon, those charges are going to go to the district attorney's office. If they accept them, we will then pull any 911 calls associated. We'll gather all the photos, the body cam, the reports, all that stuff, and send it to the district attorney's office so that they can do the prosecution. And no, we don't charge the district attorney's office.
What about the defense attorney?
So the defense attorneys will get it through the district attorney's office. Again, that's all through legal rules as far as discovery goes.
Act something. Do you have to keep an original as well as the redacted? So is it duplication, now you have twice as much?
Correct. So the original never gets altered, and that's part of the body cam system, is you want something that I can't go in and delete a video. I can't go in and edit a video inside that system. I can only take that video out of the system to do the redaction. So, yes, if I pull out a video for public release, the original is still in that system.
Thank you.
So this deletion issue, is that within that $100,000, or is that another?
The deletion?
Yeah. Of old records.
Of old records. Yeah, so basically we need to pay somebody to go through all of those records and say what is now eligible to be deleted and set it up on a schedule. It's going to take some time. Remember, we've had body cameras for over 14 years. So we have 14 years of records so far that we've accumulated, and not a lot of that's getting deleted or purged out of the system.
So that's in-house.
When we transitioned to the subscription-based model, they took all of our stored data and put it on their server. So it went to the cloud. So it's off of the city's servers. It's now on WatchGuard's servers.
Mr. Ringstead, we have about three more minutes.
So following Lonnie's, what I'm sensing then is we have this backlog that's starting to accumulate that we're going to have to get caught up. But then from there, you're going to have to continue to do this on an ongoing basis. So it's kind of a big slug that we're going to take more time and expertise to do. And then you're going to have to permanent every year deal.
You can pay to manage it, or you can pay to store it.
It's an either or, right?
Or yes. Pay either way.
You're either going to pay more money to just keep storing it, or you're going to pay somebody to manage it and to get rid of it when it's due to get rid of. If you keep keeping things and you don't get rid of them, if I have your traffic ticket from 1973 and somebody requests it, under FOIA laws, I have to provide it. So, again, is there any reason to keep your ticket from 1973? No. So that's where we need to be getting rid of items that aren't required for us to hold on to.
Those traffic tickets that John Ringstead had in 1973.
I do want to see that body camera video, though.
Any other questions for seeing none? Chief, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Very much appreciated this. This is something for us to review and take a look at our schedules and fees. Simple as that. We will reconvene at 6:30 for our general meeting.